Hier spricht die Stimme Amerikas. Heute und täglich von heute an.
This is a voice speaking from America. Daily at this time, we shall speak to you about America and the war. The news may be good or bad. We shall tell you the truth.
That's from one of the earliest broadcasts of Voice of America, launched 74 years ago. Its practitioners would probably resent the word propaganda ever being applied to its broadcasts. Certainly Alan Heilwood, he worked there from 1962 to 1998, acting as foreign correspondent, chief of news and current affairs, and deputy director of programs. I spoke to him in 2003. When my voice was apparently much higher, after the publication of his book, Voice of America, A History. He concedes that the outlet was launched more to influence than to inform, but its journalists, he said, didn't always stick with the program.
True, it was founded as a propaganda organization to counter Axis propaganda, particularly in Germany, but also in Japan. But you had at the very beginning, among the pioneers, those who believed that the best policy was to tell the truth. I can remember the story of General Stilwell, for example, who said, "The Japanese gave us a hell of a beating in Burma." Now, that became a matter of some contention, as you might imagine, between the policymakers in Washington and those broadcasting the news from the Voice of America then in New York. But the VOA staff held its own. And later we learned, following World War II, from some of the Japanese who were interrogated about their listening experiences, that made them really believe the Voice of America. But even in the early going, there were editors who stood behind the contract with the listeners to give them an honest accounting of the day's events.
You quote President Lyndon Johnson saying, "I know I can't affect the broadcast companies. I know they won't listen to me. I know they won't help me. But God damn it, I have my own radio, and I've got to make that work." And he was referring to the VOA and its coverage of Vietnam. Wouldn't you admit that sometimes the VOA has a problem reconciling its dual roles as both a government agency and an impartial news source?
Well, John Chancellor said that the Voice is at the crossroads of journalism and diplomacy. I think, however, it's increasingly clear, and particularly in the 21st century and in the post-9/11 period, that there is no substitute for a full and fair disclosure of events. I think that there is a hunger for the straight story.
How many languages is the VOA broadcast in?
It's broadcast now in 54 languages.
And do you count special English among them?
Not really. Special English, being a variant of standard English, was designed back in 1959 to aid comprehension of those listeners for whom English was a second language.
It was an English that was composed of a 1,500-word vocabulary.
Quite correct, and slowly delivered. And also, the idea was, in the main, one thought per one sentence.
And what could you convey to the world in special English?
Oh, you would be remarkably surprised. If I may, I'd like to read from page 279 of the book.
Please.
The absolutely marvelous poem sent to us by A.V.B. Menon of Tamil Nadu in India. And he called it an ode to special English. "Hail thee, special English. Thou art a virgin maiden, uncorrupted, simple, easy. Ye ring a familiar tone to one and all, learned and wise, as much to the uninitiated. Simple is beautiful. No frills, no twists, nor pretensions. Ye wind your way to the heart to strike a familiar chord. It's neither the king's nor the queen's, but that of very common folk. It is a symphony in prose. Long live special English."
You know, it reminds me of one of VOA's greatest contributions to world culture isn't in language at all, but in music. I think that the most famous and certainly most beloved voice of the Voice of America is probably that of Willis Conover.
Absolutely. He once made a visit to Moscow, got out into the great packed hall in the center of the city, And all he said was the standard introduction to his signature program.
Time for jazz. Willis Conover in Washington with the Voice of America Jazz Hour.
And the hall burst into applause. This is at the height of the Cold War. And there was a standing ovation that lasted for several minutes.
Let's talk about the VOA in China during Tiananmen Square.
There's a fascinating story about one of the Chinese correspondents, Betty Zhou, who all she needed to do was to identify herself at the edge of this square of 1 million people, and suddenly the people would part like the waves of the Red Sea and usher her right up into the center and the platform where the pro-democracy demonstrators were holding forth during those very, very critical months leading up to June 3rd, 1989. The Voice was then jammed by the Chinese government.
This is the Voice of America. The following program is in Chinese.
And then anyone listening to it can see the critical impact of jamming on blocking information from the Chinese people. 从天上问发动争取民主自由运动的学生和支持学生的群众仍久留在天安门。 I think even the Chinese themselves conceded before that martial law was imposed on that day in May of 1989 that the Voice probably had 60 million listeners. It was, I think, clear that its impact was historic in 1989.
One last question, Mr. Heil. We have the BBC. We have CNN everywhere. We've got the internet reaching into corners where even CNN can't reach. Why do we need the VOA?
I would have to go and quote David Burke, who was the first chairman of the U.S. Broadcasting Board of Governors, who said that CNN can be seen in hotel lobbies and in industrialized society. It cannot be seen in refugee camps. The U.S. simply has to have a voice, I believe, and that's a voice that reflects us. It's not a voice that's an official radio as much as it is one that reflects America, an American optic, as a West African editor once put it.
Alan Heil, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Alan Heil is the author of Voice of America, A History. That's it for this week's show. On the Media is produced by Mira Sharma, Alana Casanova-Burgess, Jesse Brenneman, and Paige Cowett. We had more help from Micah Loewinger, Sarah Kari, and Leah Feder, and our show is edited by me. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineer this week was Casey Holford. Katya Rogers is our executive producer. On the Media is a production of WNYC Studios. Bob Garfield will be back next week. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
Support for On the Media comes from the Overbrook Foundation and the listeners of WNYC Radio.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.